Physical, mental, and emotional stress has been with us since the dawn of time. Our ancestors had to deal with volcanic eruptions, wild animals, famine, plague, war, loss, grief, pain, and injustice. And although humanity has eliminated a lot of the physical stress, it's the more insidious mental and emotional stress that impacts modern humanity in a profound, insidious, and subtle way. In today's episode and over the next three episodes, I'm going to dive deep into the 6 triggers for physical stress, the 8 triggers for mental and emotional stress, and then I'm going to share with you 15 techniques to help you adapt to stress and thrive under pressure. I'm Sam McCool, and welcome to A Higher Branch. Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of A Higher Branch. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. We are getting many new listeners every week. And if you haven't already done so, please hit the subscribe button because I don't want you to miss the next 3 episodes on this pervasive topic of stress that plagues everyone in the modern world. Because I firmly believe that it is our ability to manage stress, to adapt to stress that either makes us lead a successful life with happiness, contentment, fulfillment, or one where we are plagued by a sense of failure and a sense of helplessness. Because ultimately, we cannot avoid certain stresses. And if you don't have any stress in your life, in fact, it's probably a sign that you are living within your potential. You're not pushing yourself. You're not challenging yourself in the 8 areas of life. And stress is like one side of the same coin. Let me explain what I mean. If you are new to our community, you're probably not familiar with our Higher Branch frameworks. And one of those frameworks is the 8 areas of life that each fill 8 fundamental human needs. And they are your health, love, family, work, friendship, learning, wealth, and charity. And each one of these areas, respectively, fills 8 fundamental human needs for energy, intimacy, support, fulfillment, belonging, growth, freedom, and contribution. And so to live a holistic, complete life with what most people call life balance, you need to have goals and dreams in each one of these 8 areas, which means that you wake up daily and you take action in each one of those 8 areas, whether it's exercising, whether it's working with purpose, whether it's spending time with your partner, with your family, with your friends, managing your finances, making a difference in this world. So that requires us to take action. And when you take action in each one of those 8 areas, you are going to move forward in life. You are going to grow. But on that growth path, there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be setbacks, speed humps. And it is those obstacles that put a strain on our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And in fact, the word stress was coined by the Hungarian scientist Hans Selye. And later he went on to say that if he could go back and because he didn't really have good understanding of the English language. And he said if he could go back, he wouldn't call it stress. He would call it strain. So anything that puts a strain on you physically, on you mentally, and on you emotionally. And we all know that we need a little bit of strain to grow. That's, I mean, we exercise, we play sport, we go to university, we work, and that all puts a strain on us, but that strain is positive. But like anything, too much of it can be a strain. So if you work out too much and don't recover, that will put a physical strain. If you work too many long hours, that will tip it over from being a positive strain to a negative strain. So stress or strain should not be viewed as either negative or positive or good or bad. It's really the extent of what your body can handle. And really knowing what you can handle is a lifelong journey. It's knowing thyself so you can better manage those stresses. Some people can handle more stress than others. And there's also a difference between external stress and internal stress. And there's also a difference between strain that is outside of our control. And you notice I'm using the word stress and strain interchangeably, but And it's to make the point that really what we're talking about is anything that puts a strain on you. So I want you to slowly transition away from the word stress, which has become really meaningless, and view it as a strain. What is putting a strain on my physical, mental, and emotional well-being? So we have strain that we are in control of, or strain that we actually put on ourselves deliberately, but we also have external strain that we have no control over, and that's the one that is most difficult for humans to deal with. Because strain that we are in control of, we can eliminate, right? Or we can choose how we're going to manage it. And as I'll give you examples, it's going to become very clear. But for now, just note that really, if you're going to live life fully in the eight areas, then you're going to be exposed to strain. Strain on your body, strain on your mind, strain on your emotions. And it's your ability to adapt and manage these strains is what will determine your future success. So in today's episode, I'm going to first introduce you to six physical stresses on our body. I want to start with that first, and then we're going to go deeper into the emotional, because the easiest ones to fix is the physical. And when you fix those, sometimes it's a lot easier to deal with the emotional that will inevitably pop up. So today's episode is really for you just to identify these triggers or these stresses, because really to know stress or strain as the enemy is the first step to beating the enemy. You need to identify it, otherwise you're not going to know what is stressing you out. So let's go through today's six top physical stresses. And this is a culmination of my own personal research over the last 28 years. And this is stuff that I've written down and researched time and time again, because I've personally battled with stress and strain, which over time, you know, chronic stress leads to anxiety many periods of my life. So this has been the number one challenge, if you like, for me, which means I have really studied this area very well. And the techniques that I'm going to share with you, it's stuff that I personally live by. And as I said before on my podcast, I never share anything with you that I don't personally live by. So although I'm not a researcher or a scientist, and this isn't my core competency, just from personal experience, I can share these with you with the confidence that I think it will work for you, because it has worked for me. And look, the reason why I have experienced chronic stress or chronic strain, which in some periods of my life led to anxiety, is because I push myself in the eight areas. I want to live life to the fullest. So my biggest challenge in life is I overwhelm myself with too many things to do, and that has tipped me over the edge. But these techniques that I'm going to share with you over the next few episodes, I promise you, is going to help you. It'll be a game changer for you if you do suffer with the challenges that I have experienced. Okay, let's dive in. The first stress is one that we impose on our body with the foods that we eat. Now, there are some foods that make us angry. Okay, it sounds strange that food can make you angry, but we have two brains. Between our ears, we have a thinking brain and a feeling brain. And in our stomach, where we digest our food, we have a second feeling brain, which is responsible for producing neurochemicals such as cortisol, serotonin, melatonin. And so when we eat the right foods, or rather when we eliminate the wrong foods, we have healthy gut bacteria, which then produces the right chemicals. But when we consume foods that feed bad bacteria, and bad bacteria is the one that prevents the production of serotonin, melatonin, dopamine, then we experience a stress on the physical. You know, we've all eaten foods that has made our gut angry, but what we don't realize is many hours later, and sometimes the next day or over the next 2 days, what we ate 2 days ago is impacting now not just our physical, but the neurochemicals that are now circulating in our body starts to make us feel bad, and they literally make us angry. So what are the foods that make you angry? Well, I'm going to list them. And some of these are universal to all of us, and some are ones that are kind of genetically individual to us. Number one is oil. Foods fried in industrial vegetable oil leads to silent inflammation. It disturbs gut bacteria and literally makes your stomach angry. Number two is sugar. Stuff like soft drinks, fruit juices, pastries, cookies, cakes, etc. Now, when I say okay, avoid these, does that mean avoid them all your life? Well, it's up to you, right? There are some people that are completely disciplined and obsessive when it comes to those things, but I will have a piece of cake on birthdays, special occasions. But don't eat this stuff every day. The third thing is flour. Everyone should avoid flour. And I'm talking about refined starchy foods like pasta, pizza, and white bread. So I'm talking about refined flour here, not whole grain stuff. The fourth food group that needs to be avoided by everyone is anything artificial. That's artificial colouring, flavouring, preservatives, nitrates, and MSG. So that's it. They're the foods that will make your stomach angry. Now, there are foods that need to be avoided by some because of your genetic predisposition. So that's why I'm going to share these with you. And it's up to you really to get some testing. You can get genetic testing done to see, like I got genetic testing done. I also got a food allergy panel done just with a simple blood test. And I figured out, for example, that I cannot process alcohol very well. I cannot process caffeine. That I cannot process dairy, certain dairy, chocolate. So I'm going to list some of the foods that some of us need to avoid because it literally makes your gut angry and it's going to release the negative neurochemicals I mentioned earlier, which then is going to put a stress on your body. So they are caffeine. So it's coffee, black tea, green tea. Alcohol, of course, would be wine, spirits. Dairy, we're talking about milk, cheese, yogurt. And then there are certain psychoactive stimulants like chocolate, right, that needs to be eliminated by some. So some people can handle chocolate, but most people rather can handle chocolate. But I know some people that have chocolate and it triggers migraines, which is a huge stress on your body, which then impacts other areas of your life and then tips you over with emotional stress. But I'm going to get into that in the next episode. The other foods to be avoided by some, if you're sensitive to it, is gluten. So most grains, especially wheat. Other foods to be avoided are the ones that contain lectins, which is most beans, lentils, soy, corn, cashews, and nuts, right? And or you could be a person that is sensitive to the nightshade family, tomatoes, eggplant, potatoes, and goji berries. Or you are sensitive to certain foods that contain a histamine response, such as, you know, the culprits are like kombucha, which is now everyone's drinking kombucha, but some people are walking around not knowing that it's actually causing histamine response, or fermented foods like kimchi or avocado or eggs, and for some people, fish that is not stored properly. So I'm identifying then food as the first source of stress. So to prompt you then to have a sense of awareness when you eat these foods to see how you feel. So if you are constantly in distraction mode, it's going to be difficult. I mean, I meditate and journal daily and that helps me be mindful of how I feel after I eat foods. But the second and quickest way is, as I said, is to get your gut bacteria checked, to have an allergy panel done with a simple blood test, or a genetic test to figure out whether you can metabolize caffeine, alcohol, or even saturated fat, which some people also are sensitive to. So that is the first physical trigger for stress, food. The second is not enough motion or not enough movement, not enough exercise. And again, this is something that is specific to us genetically. So there are some people, and you can do a genetic test that tells you, but you probably know whether you are a person that thrives on motion. I'm one of those people, so I need to constantly move. I will go for 2 to 3 walks in the day. I will also exercise. And it's because I know when I don't move enough, then my body gets stressed. It puts a strain on my body. It's like all this energy then internalizes and gets trapped. And if you are one of those people that needs to constantly move and you don't move either because of your job or because you drift in the direction of some weaknesses like just laying there binge watching TV or scrolling social media, that is going to be a physical stress. And as I said from the outset, I'm listing the physical stresses first, but it does not mean that they're trivial. They will eventually lead to emotional stresses, or rather reduce your ability to deal with emotional stresses. So they are important, even though it's at the physical level, which is the lowest frequency in which our energy vibrates, they are still super important. And that's why I list the physical stresses first for you to identify. Okay, the third trigger is vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So you can do a simple blood test and a hair mineral analysis. So the blood test will tell you vitamins and some minerals, and a hair mineral analysis will tell you minerals. And if you're deficient in some minerals, like magnesium, for example, and some vitamins like vitamin B12 or vitamin D, then that is going to put a stress on your body. So it's important for you to get these things checked. You know, we live in an era where medical testing is at our disposal and we need to use that. So please get tested to make sure that your stress is not being caused by vitamin or mineral deficiencies. Okay, the fourth physical stress is poor sleep. So it's not just the quantity of sleep, it's the quality of sleep here. If you are having poor sleep, I guarantee that's going to trigger a physical stress, which over time will then impact you mentally and emotionally. You know, a lot of people that I've coached over the years came to me saying, I can't sleep because of my anxiety or my depression, when we then figured out that it was actually the poor quality sleep that caused the anxiety, which then caused the depression, not the other way around. And by identifying poor sleep as the trigger for their stress, it took a lot of the pressure off. So let me explain what poor sleep is so you can identify that as a trigger, because some people don't realize that they're actually having poor quality sleep. Now, the other way to know whether you're having poor quality sleep is to wear, you know, a device that tracks your data. Now, I wear an Oura ring. I know lots of my clients and the people that I coach, I make them wear an Oura ring. Because ultimately, I mean, in business, we track performance of our business with data, and the Oura ring gives you that certain data. It gives you heart rate variability. It gives you your respiratory rate. It gives you your temperature during the night. It tells you how many minutes of deep sleep, how many minutes of REM sleep. And from that data, we can deduce whether you're having poor quality sleep, or you could be having sleep disturbances such as sleep apnea if you sleep on your back. So sometimes, you know, you're walking around feeling stressed in the day and you think that it's a myriad of things in your life that is stressing you out, when in fact, it's usually just one thing. And that one thing could be poor sleep, right? So my tip to you is, if you want to identify whether you're having a poor sleep, then get an Oura ring. And from there, you can track all those metrics that I just mentioned. So what is poor quality sleep generally if you don't have an Oura ring? Well, if you're going to bed too late, guaranteed you're not going to be getting enough deep sleep. Deep sleep happens between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Now, in daylight savings, it'll be 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. And REM sleep, before I get to REM sleep, actually, you're going to have poor sleep if you're going to drink alcohol, too much alcohol, in the second half of the day. And that's been shown by a lot of research. So I know some people have alcohol to help them sleep, thinking that they're actually knocked out for the evening, but in fact, they never get into deep sleep. And it also disturbs their REM sleep. Deep sleep is the restorative sleep. REM sleep is that part of your sleep that helps your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments to relax so they can also regenerate and restore and recover. And with not enough REM sleep, you're not resetting your short-term memory and helping your ligaments and tendons relax. Because when you're in REM sleep, your body literally becomes paralyzed. Otherwise, you would sleepwalk, right? Because it's during REM sleep that we have most of our dreaming. So what is another symptom of poor sleep? And that is if you wake up too early as well. If you wake up too early, you're not getting enough REM sleep, because REM sleep happens, guess what? In the last 3 to 4 hours. So people who wake up at like 4 a.m. are not getting enough REM sleep. So ideally, you should be going to bed 10 p.m., waking up at 6 a.m. or 11 p.m. and waking up at 7 a.m. Now, I know this is controversial because there's a lot of people out there in this so-called 5 a.m. club, and I know it works for some. I know some really high performers that wake up early, hit the gym, and you know they're checking their emails while everyone is still asleep at 7 a.m., right? But the research overwhelmingly shows that you need to get enough sleep, not just in the early part of the evening, but also in the early part of the morning. So that's the fourth physical stressor. Now let's go into the fifth one. And this is one I think we can all relate to, because we all do it, especially when we're on our laptops, when we're driving, when we're on our phone. Anytime where we are lost in our heads, and we get out of our body. In other words, we don't have that body awareness. And I'm talking about shallow breathing. And shallow breathing is a physical stressor and should not be underestimated for its impact on your physical health and then ultimately your emotional well-being. So at this stage, all I need you to do is just be aware that this is a physical stressor. Just be aware of yourself, shallow breathing. Because when we get to the third episode on this series on stress or strain, I'm going to share with you some incredible techniques when it comes to reversing shallow breathing. And shallow breathing does not only impact or starve your cells of oxygen and makes you tired, but it also impacts the way your diaphragm works. Your diaphragm is the one that rests underneath your rib cage. And when you shallow breathe, your diaphragm's meant to be flexible, pliable. And when it gets stuck, you're going to start having back issues. You're going to start having psoas muscle issues, which can lead to hip pain and then knee pain, or can go upstream and give you neck pain and headaches. So it should not be underestimated as a stress trigger. Okay, that's number five. Now, number six, and our last one, is an invisible physical stress, and that is electromagnetic frequencies. What I'm talking about here is Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, 4G, 5G, the electrical cables that are running through your house. So anything that puts a strain on your central nervous system in a subtle way. Now, it's invisible, we're not aware of it, but we can wake up with a headache simply because our bedhead rests on a wall which has behind it a whole heap of cabling. And I've coached people in the past who have suffered from headaches. There was one lady in particular who was getting headaches for 2 years. And she saw neurologists, she saw lots of people who said, look, there's nothing wrong with you. And when I started coaching her, I went and visited her and her husband at home. And I said, can you show me where your bedroom is? And I had a look at where the bedhead was located. And then I said, okay, can you please take me outside? I want to see where your electric meter box was. And the electric meter box is where all the wiring of the house goes to. It's the central processing area, if you like, for all electrical functions. And it was directly behind her side of the bedhead. And the EMFs within 1 meter of that electrical meter box is so intense. And look, I know a lot about this because my good friend Joachim Herman has been a friend and a colleague for a long time. And in fact, he features on this podcast in one of my early episodes. We'll put a link in the description about EMFs and its subtle but insidious impact on our central nervous system. And just like alcohol or caffeine, which interrupts our sleep, EMFs, and particularly in our bedroom at night, never let us get into a state of deep sleep. And it literally prematurely ages us, and it's an invisible physical stress, which again, over time, just like the other five physical stresses, will then impact our mental and emotional well-being. Okay, so I hope I've given you some food for thought when it comes to these six physical stresses. And it is foods that make you angry, not enough movement, vitamin and mineral deficiency, poor sleep, shallow breathing, and electromagnetic frequencies. And in the next episode, I'm going to share with you eight stresses that impact your mental and emotional health. And I promise you, once you know and identify these eight strains that we put on our mental and emotional health, it's 50% of the equation. It'll make you feel a lot more empowered on what to do. And then in my third episode, I'm going to share with you the 15 techniques that will help you manage and in some cases decimate the stress that you're currently dealing with. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of A Higher Branch. Now, if you have been listening to our podcast for a while, please pay it forward by sharing it with other people and join me on this mission to help as many people as possible on this planet, because that is genuinely my mission. I love sharing this information with you because I love it when I see people overcome obstacles, stresses, and go on to live the life that they deserve, because it inspires me in return. And if you haven't already done so, please give me a rating and review, because the portals such as Apple, YouTube, Spotify then boosts our rankings, and then we can reach many more people. And if you're on social media, please share this episode or take a screenshot of the episode and tag me in it. You'll usually find me as Sam McCool or A Higher Branch, or on Instagram, it's SamMcCool_AHB. Okay, thank you for listening today, and I'm going to leave you with the same message as I always do, and that is the reminder that every morning is the dawn of a new day and your ability to start fresh. On that note, I hope you have a great day, and as always, live consciously, my friends.